Good evening. I'm Danielle Woods, welcoming you to this live event. I'd like to thank everyone for taking time to join us this evening. Tonight, Senator Art Haywood of the 4th Senatorial District will take your calls and questions on human dignity. The senator will address what he sees as a call to action in addressing dignity across the Commonwealth. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question this evening, be a part of the conversation, please press star 3 on your keypad to participate. Again, that is star 3 on your keypad to participate. So without any further delay, let me welcome State Senator Art Haywood.
Thank you, Danielle. Good evening. This is State Senator Art Haywood. Welcome to this telephone town hall for all my friends and neighbors within the 4th Senate District. I would like to thank everyone who's taking time out of their busy schedule to participate on tonight's call. Whether you ask a question or just prefer to listen to the conversation, I appreciate your engagement. If you'd like to ask a question at any time during tonight's discussion, press star 3 on your phone. Now, as Danielle said, tonight we will spend about a half an hour discussing dignity, not just in Pennsylvania, but in our nation and beyond. Unfortunately, there have been countless incidents in our nation's history where basic human dignity has been called into question and violated. Sadly, many of recent events today clearly show that we have a long, long way to go in treating people with dignity. Whether it be people of color, the underserved, those with special needs, those in poverty, immigrants, we as a society must do better in treating people with the basic dignity that all deserve. So I'd like to begin and share some of my thoughts and observations regarding dignity. I know a number of people have called my office to ask the question, why is Art having a conversation on dignity? What is that about? I have looked at this question of when folks are treated like they count and don't count. And unfortunately, there are many instances where everyday people are treated like they don't count, without dignity. Let me share a few examples from recent events. I, along with my colleague, Chad Lassiter, traveled all around the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, talking to black and brown college students at state universities. They shared many instances of being treated with racial epithets, called the N-word, and other harassment. In one sad example, a student came from their hometown as a freshman on the soccer team, got to the campus, on the campus shared space with other members of the soccer team. The student, the freshman, brought her favorite teddy bear from home. One day, the teddy bear went missing, and the freshman was very concerned as to what happened because the teddy bear was also for emotional support. Then the student looked at social media and saw the teddy bear being lynched. This was a devastating attack on her and her dignity. This is one of a number of examples where it is the dignity of everyday people that's unprotected, violated. Let me share another example. I have met a number of hard-working Pennsylvanians. Every day, they go to work. They get up, they drive or get on the bus, they show up, and they do the work that is expected and go home. Unfortunately, some of these individuals are being paid $8 an hour, $9 an hour, $10 an hour. That is still poverty pay. It's not enough to maintain the dignity of hard-working individuals. And sometimes these individuals give up doing all the work, but then not having enough money to make it, still be in poverty. So these are some of the examples. I'm sure that many of us saw the killing of George Floyd. That was as inhumane act as anyone could imagine. And an attack on his dignity. So our dignity is still under attack. The other feature that got me to look at dignity was our own American history. Now, unfortunately, we've had several hundred years of enslavement, a clear dignity violation. But after the enslavement, there was no clear protection of the dignity of those who had been enslaved. No dignity protection. So as a result, we had over 100 years of racial segregation, another form of indignity. I would like to contrast that with some other countries which have also had tremendous violations of human dignity. One, Germany. Germany had the Nazis' awful Holocaust against Jews, and when it was all over and they were defeated, the Germans changed their constitution and included in their constitution, a protection of dignity, because the dignity had been so violated. In South Africa, which has a long, terrible history of apartheid against the Africans, after the victory of the ANC and Nelson Mandela, as the ANC began to put their constitution together, they also included protections for dignity, because they recognized, A, the clear dignity violations of the past, and the importance of putting the protection of dignity in the core document of the country. So this is how I got to this question of seeing the indignities on one hand, but then seeing countries that have responded to protect the dignity in the Constitution, though we have not. Now, I've also gotten the question of Art, now, what is this dignity? So some say it's a God-given right. Others say it's all because we're children of God. Do you remember Jesse Jackson? He used to say, "I am somebody," as an expression of dignity. Other people see it as human rights, which come from dignity. What we know is that each of us have an inherent value, an inherent worth, a worth of value because we are humans. Some would say a sacred value, but we know we have an inherent value that cannot and should not be violated. Now, one of the places we see how this value has been protected and recognized is in the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights. Now, this Declaration of Human Rights came after the terrible events of World War II. I would like to share a few statements from this UN Declaration to help ground us in what we understand legally to be human dignity. So let me share a few phrases. In the beginning of the UN Declaration on Human Rights, one of the statements says as follows, as a justification for the whole declaration. It says, whereas recognition of the inherent dignity and of the equal and inalienable rights of all members of the human family. It is the foundation of freedom, justice, and peace in the world. Dignity is the foundation. Another phrase from this declaration says, whereas the peoples of the United Nations have in the Charter reaffirmed their faith in fundamental human rights, in the dignity and worth of the human person, and in the equal rights of men and women to promote social progress and better standards of life in larger freedom. My last statement from the Declaration. All human beings are born free and equal in dignity and rights. Now, we have unfortunately seen, as I have shared, instances where this fundamental recognition of dignity has been violated. Not just the Holocaust, not just apartheid, not just the enslavement of Africans in the United States, but also in our criminal justice system, also in how much we decide to pay people, also in how women are treated. Now, there are over 170 countries in this world who have protected dignity in their constitutions. As I have said, we have not. I received another question amongst many others from people about my whole presentation here. One question I received is, well, what would be different if dignity was protected? What would be different? So let me share how dignity is used as a check on the abuse of power in some of the other countries. Several of the countries I have mentioned do not allow hate speech because the hate speech violates the dignity of their country people. Here in the United States, we will allow hate speech. And I have been in conversations with young people who talked about being called the N-word. They talked about Confederate flags in their schools. They shared how Nazis had marched on their campuses. Some of these young people have cried in the conversation with me. This free speech is not free. It's emotionally harmful, creating emotional damage and sometimes trauma. This hate speech is a violation of the dignity of these young people. And so, in places like Germany, with a dignity protection, the hate speech is curtailed. Here in the United States, we have seen Confederates across the nation. Last week, I was in Lynchburg, Virginia. On the way home, I was on a highway called Lee Highway for Robert E. Lee, who was the main general trying to maintain the enslavement of African Americans. It was a tremendous insult to me and a challenge to my dignity for him to be recognized on a highway as a principal leader for white supremacy and the denial of black rights. This is where dignity can also come into play. It's not just with respect to race. Earlier this week, I heard of examples of bigotry against those based upon their sexual orientation in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. We're all too familiar, as I've shared, with the criminal justice system's unfortunate incarceration, over-incarceration of African Americans and others. Immigrants in the United States have had no dignity protections when their families were separated upon crossing the border. Infants separated from parents. Toddlers separated from parents. Dignity protections in these other nations also extend rights to immigrants for their basic dignity to be protected. I'm sure that many of you can also identify additional dignity violations where if there was a constitutional protection for dignity, the abuse could be limited. Yes, there is a tension between freedom and dignity because unfortunately we have seen those who are all powerful use that freedom to violate our dignity. Even today, as we look around the world, particularly as we look to Gaza, we can see dignity violations. Starvation is not just a war crime. It is a dignity violation. And we see, unfortunately, dignity violations in sub-Saharan Africa. Most recently, the capture of 200 children taken from their parents. These dignity violations, yes, are not limited to the United States. And I don't want people to be confused that I am proposing some new world standard. I am not. What I am proposing is that here in Pennsylvania, that we begin a conversation about dignity. That we begin to look at what we can do to protect dignity. I have prepared an amendment to the Pennsylvania Constitution for that purpose and have begun this conversation and others so that we in Pennsylvania can join hands to see that our state begins to look at how we can protect the dignity of our neighbors here in Pennsylvania. I'm glad to take any questions that individuals may have at this time. Please press *3. Should you have a question, as the questions may be coming in, I do want to share that there are some actions that my office is taking to try to address indignity. We have called for raising the minimum wage so that hardworking people don't have to be in poverty pay. We have legislation that calls for the end of hate speech on campuses. In Gaza, I have called for an immediate ceasefire and the release of all hostages. So I am on the battlefield, and this conversation today is a step along the same path. Danielle, do we have any questions at this time?
Yes, Senator, we do. Let's go to Claire. Claire, you are live with the Senator.
Hi, Senator Haywood. Thank you so much for doing this. I am a big supporter of yours, and I appreciate all that you do for the citizens of Pennsylvania.
Thank you.
My brother had a severe case of schizophrenia. This is a little bit different than other problems. But he was treated terribly by the police. He was arrested. He was put in jail and beat up in jail. He had no dignity. Fortunately, he had a good family, and we tried very hard to get him the housing that he needed and the medical treatment that he needed, but it was extremely difficult. It took decades, literally, to get him the help he needed. I'm wondering, is this part of the work that you're doing? Because the mentally ill seem to be considered lesser than, and I would hope that there would be some good housing and some other help for the mentally ill. Thank you.
Claire, I can't thank you enough for sharing that. I was at a meeting on Tuesday of last week in Harrisburg talking about the rights of the individuals who have intellectual and developmental disabilities. They are also in a group of people where their dignity has been violated. I shared that where I grew up, I had a next-door neighbor. Ricky was his name, and Ricky Malik. Ricky Malik had severe form of intellectual and developmental disability. But Mr. Malik, Mrs. Malik, took care of Ricky. This is in the 1960s, where they were committed to the home care. But there are so many others who do not have the quality of care that that family was able to provide. And so, Claire, yes, this is one area where a dignity amendment would lift up their whole personhood. It would lift them up and require us to treat them with dignity. And that would include different forms of assistance, paying a decent amount to people who are actually doing the care. Thank you so much, Claire. But yes, this is a good example where we have dignity violations and as a result need dignity protections. Thank you.
All right, let's go to our next caller. We have Patricia from Cheltenham. Patricia, you are live.
Hi, thank you, and thank you for hosting this. I really appreciate the context around dignity. I think I've been thinking a lot about the same things as it relates to humanity and how resources are allocated and who has access to what resources in 2024. I'm curious, Senator, how you've been thinking about dignity and the roles of employers and the standards of businesses in the community. You know, I think we have a lot of great small businesses, but a lot of times I feel like the larger businesses have standards that maybe aren't the best. And so I guess in this kind of conversation of dignity, humanity, how are you thinking about the roles of different stakeholders in the community?
Yeah, thank you so much, Patricia. So what the dignity conversation does is create a space to talk about the question or create a new test. And the test is whether a certain set of policies, whether they be pay, whether they be leave, whether they be promotion, whatever the policies may be, how they measure up to making sure that the inherent value of each of us is recognized. Now, this is not the super value of everyone. You know, everybody's got their own identity and what they think they are. But this is to make sure that the basic value of each person is taken into account in these various employment decisions. Now, unfortunately, in the United States, we have given businesses free rein in many respects. And this free rein historically created child labor, which we have curtailed, possibly not eliminated. Unions also limited the free rein of businesses. But we know that without some countervailing influence, business owners will not have dignity at the fore, but profit. I'm not against profit, but it's got to be measured to protect dignity. So that, Patricia, will be my core framework. I think, yes, there is a tension between maximizing profit and protecting dignity. There is that tension. The more we make sure that dignity is part of the framework, so it's not just maximizing profit, that I think will go a long ways in having a healthy economy where people can actually do the work, come back to work, and be healthy. So thank you so much for that point. There is a tension, but it's a tension that we need, because unfettered profit maximization is destructive.
And so, Senator, I know we have to close things out soon, but you covered a lot of ground here tonight. But something I did want to follow up with for you, you know, you talked about an amendment to the Constitution, the Pennsylvania Constitution. What exactly does it take to amend the Constitution?
This effort to amend the Pennsylvania Constitution, in my opinion, is a multi-decade struggle. The Equal Rights Amendment is still in the process of being adopted. Changing the Constitution is very challenging. Here in Pennsylvania, we have changed the Constitution most recently when the General Assembly, by a significant margin, decided that the governor, Wolf, at that time, should not have as much emergency power. He used quite a bit of emergency power during the pandemic to try to save lives. There was some rebellion against it. However, the Constitution was changed to limit any governor's power. Governor Wolf is there in the future by the General Assembly. The General Assembly, of which I'm a member, has the power to do so. And the General Assembly is elected by the people. Let's not let that go. The General Assembly is elected by the people. And so if the people are with the change, the General Assembly will adopt it. So we're in a long-term education format. First, to get Pennsylvanians to understand the importance of protecting dignity. And after we get Pennsylvanians to do it, the legislature will follow. I remember a quote that this is a paraphrase and not a quote from Abraham Lincoln. It was essentially, if you get the will of the people with you, you can do anything. If you can't, you can't do it. So we first is get the people with us. That's why this telephone town hall is so important.
All right, great answer, Senator. I think that takes us up to our time here tonight.
Thank you so much. This has been a great discussion. Again, I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this evening, especially Claire and Patricia. Thank you so much for your questions. This telephone town hall is a consistent effort that we use to reach people. Normally I have a guest, but tonight I had these heartfelt conversations I need to have with folks. Now, if you didn't have a chance to ask a question, please remain on the line. You will be able to leave your question on a voicemail for me, and we will get back to you. If you have any additional questions, please call my office at 215-242-8171. You can also visit my website at SenatorHaywood.com. Thank you again for joining us and listening in. Have a good evening.